6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, Monday, January 10th, 2022. Wow, things are just, you know, I mean, we're shaking it up here. For those of you on the Power Hour that are our dedicated listeners, we appreciate that because we're trying to keep you in the loop. We've just gotten word from some of our listeners out there that China has locked down the world's third busiest port city, Ningbo, home to the third largest container port in the world. It has been under lockdown to, of course, a COVID-19 outbreak. Analysts are suggesting the lockdown could cause more disruption to the global supply chain. Is that partially our fault as Americans? Well, no. No, I mean, here's the thing. If you're buying Chinese-made goods, you are supporting all of this nonsense. You got to look at what happened when Hunter Biden hooked up with the Chinese and got a bunch of money from them, and then hooked up with Russia and got a bunch of money from them, and various other entities and got a bunch of money from them. And all of a sudden, when his daddy Joe gets in office, things start happening in the directions of Russia, who got concessions on their pipeline, China, who they're opening up more trade dialogue with and allowing more. Well, you know, China is just, because of our dependence on it, has just screwed us once again. Those of you who are depending on Chinese-made products, and I'm not talking just about the electronics aspects of things, that parts that go into computer systems and things that are causing a backlog in American industry, what little is left of it after being gutted by previous administrations. We have a real serious problem. When you have one of these ports close, that causes another ripple effect. So we thank our astute listeners out there for watching the internet and Epoch Times and various other sources as we migrate through the news. And, you know, here's the thing. COVID has affected a number of things, but you have to look at the political side of things here. The Biden administration, if you haven't heard yet, has cut the number of doses of monoclonal antibodies therapy shipped to Florida from 30,000 to 15,000 this week, according to Governor Ron DeSantis. The 15,000 dozen received would be immediately utilized to support new monoclonal antibody sites. Here's the thing. When you come up with a solution to a problem in treating infected patients, saving countless lives, it looks like we are working and we're being counterproductive to the intent of the Biden administration. Because it really, the more you start looking at the equation here, it really does look like our United States government is at war with we the people. And when I mean at war, we're talking about a serious narrative that is literally being taken into the physical realm, whereas they are stopping product from getting to market. They are censoring people with their little agreements they have on the inside with big tech. They are censoring all of the frontline doctors that are coming out trying to tell people how to stay alive. It's just nuts, because we have a Democrat-controlled House and Republicans, a lot of which are rhinos, and you got to wonder what the economy is going to look like and whether we can stave off this 18 months of recession that Joseph Meyer was talking about. I don't know if you remember this or not, but I do remember 73, 74, and 1980, 81. I remember the gas lines. I remember sitting in them. And I had a four-cylinder, you know, and I was sitting in these gas lines. And the same thing, it's not happening to the degree of gas lines now, because the rising gas prices are choking off the amount of time and effort spent on the roadway. And I remember when they did the COVID lockdown back in March of 2020 and told everybody to stay home. I had news credentials so I could travel. But I'll tell you what. The amount of vehicles on the road drastically dropped. There was hardly anybody on the road. And as a result, if you understand how economic principles work, when demand decreases, prices decrease because they have all this glut in supply they can't sell because nobody's buying. So it forces the prices to come down. which means that if Americans, and think about this from a logical standpoint economically, because I did study economics in college. If you go and you say, okay, I'm going to limit my travel to and from work. I'm going to work from home. I'm only going to travel X number of miles per week. I'm only going to consume a quarter of a tank of gas a week. I'm going to trade in my gas guzzler. I know that that prices of these things are, the cars are really high right now. I'm going to get something at least scale down to a four banger if you haven't already, because it's not consuming as much gas. I'm going to do whatever I can to save my own butt, because you have to in order to survive this. And this is only, we're just talking about gas prices here because of what this moron in D.C. did in shutting down the Keystone Pipeline with no alternative options. This is the one thing. They come in here and they blast and they talk about getting rid of fossil fuels, but not once did they offer a solution like what we offer our listeners here on the Power Hour. We offer solutions and attempt at every turn to get people on the show that can educate, inform, save people money, and help people prevent making serious financial mistakes in their life, like, you know, moving to Florida. You have to understand that Florida, I just left Florida and moved back to Texas for a reason. There's a lot of different reasons why, and that's because Ron DeSantis is under attack. A lot of people are moving here from blue states. They're moving to Florida. They're moving to all parts of Florida, and they're bringing their blue state attitude with them. So Florida, literally, because of everything that has happened with this administration, is under attack, and this 30,000 to 15,000 cut in monoclonal antibodies when Ron DeSantis is actually doing good for the people. Now they're just basically flooding Florida, and all you have to do is look at the United Van Lines studies of the number of people that they are moving into the Sunshine State to realize that things are going to get out of control there. I don't know what else to say. And then when you've got more than 584,000 foreigners, according to Epoch Times, that have overstayed their U.S. visas last year in fiscal year 2020, according to a newly released report from Department of Homeland Security, you know, it made it appear that it had been released in September 2021 after being pressured by Republican senators for defying the law and not releasing it when it was supposed to. Why are they hiding this information? Because they got bigger plans. And this figure is higher than the 497,272 foreigners who overstayed their visas in fiscal year 2019. Now, you got to look at Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. I mean, the guy looks like an ostrich who just pulled his head out of the sand. And he only does this when he gets attacked by the Republican senators and congresspeople, because they're complaining, which is about all they can do. Because if you've got a Democrat-controlled House, folks, I really think if you want to change this recession, and I'm not a predictor, I don't offer that kind of financial advice on the show, but politically, I'm seeing that if the House and Senate shift and go red, that you're going to see laws come in and get passed that are going to shut down Biden's bad policy decisions. They will override his executive orders, and they will pass legislation to start up the Keystone Pipeline again and give us our energy independence back, so we will not have these high gas prices, because it creates a ripple effect throughout the entire economy. I mean, common sense would tell you, if you don't have a suitable replacement economically, that the country is going to suffer. Now, why would they want to do that? Why would they want to kill the economy? To make everybody dependent on Biden and the government for a handout? Seriously? This Congress is writing checks its body can't cash. And then he lets the border wide open. A former border commissioner says that we've lost control of the Southwest border. The Southwest border, during the first year in office of Biden, we have historic levels of illegal crossing, pulling agents off the front line, leaving large swaths of the border unpatrolled, drugs, especially fentanyl, flowing in, overdose deaths at an all-time high. And, you know, it's like you can't tell kids not to eat the little blue pill, and it's not Viagra. I'm not being funny here. Fentanyl is being cut with all sorts of street drugs, and it's killing people. It doesn't take much fentanyl. Just ask George Floyd. Dig him up and ask him. He swallowed a whole mouthful of those things trying to hide all the fentanyl he was selling and had in his possession. And BLM makes this guy a poster child? Seriously? The guy was a career criminal. And he knew the cop that killed him, supposedly. Maybe it was the fentanyl that got him. We don't know. But see, when you have all this fentanyl flowing over, and it's coming from China, and it's coming up from the southern border through all of these drug mules, and customs and border protection is, they're incapable. We have 600,000 people that got away. That's equivalent to the size of the state of Vermont, according to Mark Morgan, former acting commissioner of CBP. This is one of these things where when you have all of this, you got to tell our younger generation, you got to stop playing in these illegal drugs. These are not Tide Pods. These aren't something that are going to put you in the hospital. This is not the TV show Jackass, where you can sit there and see how many fentanyl tablets you can ingest. You're going to end up as a statistic. And that doesn't mean you're going to end up alive. It means you're going to end up dead. You're going to be one of those 100,000 people who died of an overdose, all because of what is going on at the southwest border. And you can thank Biden and Harris and everybody else in his administration for your kid's death if you're a parent and one of your kids decided to go out and do something stupid behind your back. And it, you know, frankly, it all falls on the parents. The parents have to educate their children and tell them, look, please don't go out and buy this garbage and start taking it. Don't do it. Border Patrol reports 1,066% increase in fentanyl seized at the border in South Texas alone. This is just during fiscal 2021. 87,652 pounds of narcotics. It would have commanded a street value of $786 million. Eight ports of entry extending from Brownsville to Del Rio between October 1 last year and September 30 this year of 2021. This is how much they got. They also got $10.4 million in unreported currency, 463 weapons, up 20% from fiscal year 2020. And 84,863 rounds of ammunition. You understand now that all of this could have been used against the American people. There are people, those 600,000 gotaways, that I'm more worried about because any of these people could do what happened to that father of four in Jacksonville, Florida, getting murdered, or that mother and her daughter that were hit by a hit-and-run driver that was an illegal alien that stole a car and smashed into him down near the border. A 2-milligram dose of synthetic opioid can be deadly. Fentanyl is highly addictive, 100 times more potent than morphine, 50 times more potent than heroin. Why people want to check out? Maybe they're depressed. I don't know. But, you know, if you make your children aware of what is going on and tell them, please don't let your friends dare you or double dare you or whatever the case to take this garbage, you will end up in trouble. And it's not my fault. I warned you this was going to happen. And then you have to wonder why these pharmaceutical manufacturers want to get the shots onto the childhood vax schedule. One, they're going to make tons of money. And two, they will get the liability shield. So you've got to complain to your state legislators and the federal government, your congresspeople, not to let these folks, these big pharma, get their hands on your kids. There is no do-over. The Supreme Court, Justice Sonia Sotomayor, she's a liberal, according to Epoch Times, inaccurately claimed that over 100,000 children are in serious condition because of COVID-19. Which sparked a rare fact check of the Obama-appointed judge, as some have accused her of spreading misinformation. You know, it's really sad when you have a Supreme Court judge who's trying to side with the Biden administration and Fauci and everybody else and Big Pharma. You got to wonder whether somebody's paying her off. PolitiFact wrote that the pediatric hospitalization rate has remained much lower than that of other age groups, noting that data show kids have by far the lowest hospitalization and death rates among all age groups, yet they want to jab them And Sotomayor wants to lie about it to the court. And even the CDC director, Rochelle the Witch Walensky, is disputing Sotomayor's claim that 100,000 kids are hospitalized. Walensky is saying that only 3,500 children in the hospital have tested positive for COVID. That is a far cry from Sotomayor's bragging rights. Just because she's a Supreme Court judge doesn't make it so. Which means we should all be glad that the conservatives have a majority on the nation's highest court, and that we're doing everything in our power to stop the Biden administration from packing the court. Ron Johnson has had COVID too, and he got over it. He's a senator from Wisconsin. He is going to run for re-election in 2022, opting against his 2016 suggestion he'd only serve two terms in office. You see, once you get in there and you see how much power you have, doesn't matter whether you have COVID or not. They didn't understand that being a key ally of former President Trump would not have anticipated the Democrats' complete takeover of government and the disastrous results inflicted on America by their bad policies. So he's going to get back in the fight. He's going to go get elected for another six-year term. He's going to try. I think he'll do it. He says he's doing it because America's in peril and he wants to fight for our freedom. Like I said, you want to vote for the person, not the party. So that means research Senator Ron Johnson. Find out what committees he's on, who contributed to his election campaign like everybody else. Turnabout's fair play. Doesn't matter. You got to vote for the person, not the party. That's why we have 13 gubernatorial candidates running in the state of Texas against Governor Greg Abbott, who's one of those 13. Apparently, people down in the Lone Star State don't believe that he acted fast enough to get the border wall going again after the Biden administration tore it all down, or just basically said, we're not going to continue with it. He said, nuts to that. We're going to do it. But he took too long. And so the field of candidates, gubernatorial candidates running against him, increased in number, including Alan West, Don Huffines, these people. Huffines has been on the show. West is going to be in our show. We're working right now with his campaign committee to get him on. He is a retired lieutenant colonel, and I've heard some of his diatribe. Lieutenant Colonel West is not going to put up with this crap from these cartels. And if they start shooting at agents from across the border, he is going to tell these agents to return fire and take those little mofos out. That's just the way it is. It's the way it needs to be. We need to show strength, not a bunch of weakness. We have all these Border Patrol agents that are quitting. They can't take this garbage anymore from the Biden administration being ridiculed by the media. And so these people have the right idea. But if you don't step up and you don't retaliate when they start shooting at you, and you don't shoot back, you look weak. 844-769-2944 if you want to chime into my comment. It's not going to start World War III at the border. You're taking out cartel members that are shipping fentanyl and trafficking kids across the border. I guarantee you, you put 30,000 men down there with several 30-round clips of 223 ammo and AR-15s, and you open fire on those cartels, they're going to get the message real quick. I can tell you that right now. California says COVID positive health workers can now go back to work because they have a shortage. They have a shortage of hospital workers, so they're letting people who are testing positive go back to work. Isn't that wonderful? If they're asymptomatic, yes, they can. The guidance remains in effect until February 1st. It stipulates the staff have to wear an N95 respirator mask while on the job. What do we know about masks? I don't think I'd want to go into a California hospital for anything, including an elective procedure right now. Health giant Kaiser Permanente suspended more than 2,000 employees who were not vaccinated in October. Other California systems such as Santa Clara Valley Medical Center and Sutter Health also terminated or suspended their employees who weren't vaccinated. You see, what do these healthcare workers know? that we don't. Maybe it's because they suspect that what's in the jab ain't what they say it is. What if the jab does have those little graphene oxide microscopic razor blades in them that got Dr. Andreas Nowak murdered in Germany after he went public with that? He studied graphene oxide. It's in the jab, and it's not declared. It's one of the four things that aren't declared. They didn't tell you the AIDS virus is in there, and you wonder why. Jean-Luc Montagnier and his crew came out and said, look, we've looked at this, and the AIDS virus is in the jab. Why in God's name would you want to stick something with the AIDS virus in your arm? And this is why we have pushback against the vaccination. And Dr. Peter McCullough, who's a frontline doctor who I got to meet at Clay Clark's Reawakening America tour in Dallas, told me personally, children do not need the jab. They're healthy. And if they're healthy, it's because the percentage that die from the virus is minuscule. Adverse effects in the same group are of greater concern than the virus itself. The kids will get over it. But of course, everybody says, oh no, the kids need it because 600 kids died, but they died from other respiratory illnesses like respiratory syncytial virus or the flu. They were also known to have other severe illnesses like cystic fibrosis, lung disease, congenital heart lung disease, or cancer. McCullough cited a study by Dr. Marty McCary from Johns Hopkins, who carried out an analysis. They think maybe they can find one child who actually died of COVID who was previously healthy, said McCullough. And then they turn around and they want to give your kids a jab. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, your mission is to say no. No to them jabbing your kids. And if they want to do it and do it behind your back, well, you'll find out from Sheila Ely, who's going to be in our show this week, exactly how that feels. We're going to be back after the break with John O'Connor. He is a former federal prosecutor. He's got the answers about why public schools are jabbing kids without parental consent. You want to be here for that. Stay with us. We'll be back after the break.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with Olive Oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Herb and Spice. We carry the Resvital Calf, Sinuoraga, Oreganol Juice, Pure Lycee, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Oregarest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Two minutes after the hour of 12 noon, Monday, January 10, 2022. If you are listening to us in Central Time, our phone lines are open at 844-769-2944. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. We are back with our final segment here, and an interesting take for those of you history buffs that remember what happened in 1973 when then-President Richard Nixon, who said, "I am not a crook," and, you know, held up his two fingers as he got on the helicopter to leave after he resigned from office. We have with us a former federal prosecutor who has written a book, Postgate, How the Washington Post Betrayed Deep Throat, Covered Up Watergate, and Began Today's Partisan Advocacy Journalism. And he's also the host of the Mysteries of Watergate podcast, serving as an assistant U.S. attorney in Northern California, representing the U.S. in both civil and criminal cases. And that would be U.S. versus whomever. And so this is Deep Throat's lawyer. And he discovers the Washington Post betrayed his client. John O'Connor is here to talk to us about it. He is an attorney still, I believe. Is that right, John?
Well, I still claim to be. I think my bar card has not been taken from me yet, so we'll see.
That's good. You've been practicing law in San Francisco since 1972. Before we went on the air, we were talking about public schools jabbing kids with these COVID vaccines without parental consent. And I'm just kind of curious, because you're in California, you're not really aware of how widespread it is, but you believe it is going on, right?
Certainly, we have that isolated report of a kid getting a piece of pizza in Southern California, and after which they jabbed him. And, of course, that doesn't get around the problem of consent. The kid cannot consent. Any minor under 18 cannot consent to being jabbed any more than a kid can be consent to have sex with an adult prior to 18. You need the parents' consent. And in jabbing, this is not an emergency situation where, you know, if somebody's bleeding, if the kid's bleeding to death and you can't contact the parents, you take the kid to the emergency room. But this isn't an emergency situation like that, and you need the parents' consent to get vaccinated, and especially if the kid is not vaccinated, one can imply that and infer that the parents don't want them vaccinated. So we see this happening. Now, how widespread it is, we don't know, because that depends upon reports from people who have been victimized. But it is very clear that the teachers and the teacher unions want the kids to be vaccinated for their own protection, not for the kids' protection, but for that of the teachers. It really pits the teachers' interest against those of the students. And so that's what's going on, and it doesn't surprise me. You could tell me about 15 more reports tomorrow, and it's just all of a piece. It goes along with the theme that the teachers care about this, and they will do things that are not in the interest of the kids or their parents. So I see this going on. Again, it's probably the tip of the iceberg, but I don't know that much more than anyone else does about how frequent it is.
Sure. Well, I think also that the teachers union, the National School Board Association, they're the ones driving this.
Right. Absolutely. That's why I say it's all about protection of the teachers. It's all about the union stuff. And of course, it's a great excuse for the teachers as in San Francisco to just go on sick out. Well, they can't get teachers around here in Northern California because the teachers decide that they're just going to sick out for whatever reason on really a silent protest about kids who may not be vaccinated. So that's what we've got. It's a very sad situation. It was sad before COVID that really the teachers' union was not really being responsive to the needs of the children. Look at what the school boards are doing regarding anybody who protests about the curriculum, you know, the critical race stuff, the sexually explicit teaching, you know, and it happened in Virginia. Well, guess what? Merrick Garland decides that teachers are really the people that are doing this to the school board are really domestic terrorists. And the FBI is now on top of this, and they're intimidating parents from saying anything. It's all part of the same thing. The teachers' unions and the school board associations are all very heavy Democratic contributors. So you're going to see a lot of support by the government protect these teachers and school board people no matter what they do. There won't be prosecutions. I mean, you could prosecute somebody. Theoretically, it's an assault. I mean, if I come in and stick a knife into you, isn't that an assault? Well, sure it is. And if I come in and jab you with a foreign substance, whether it's LSD or a vaccine, it doesn't matter. That's an assault and a battery, I should say, also. And so why aren't those being prosecuted? Well, you know why. So there's where we are. And the problem isn't you can bring civil suits, but generally speaking, there's not much in the way of damage that you can prove. You can just say, well, look, my kid, there's nothing wrong with the kid. What's your damage for us having illegally done that? So it's not conducive for the parents to sue once the, you know, horse is out of the barn. So that's why they're getting away with it, I think. I think they realize that they're essentially, as a practical matter, immune from suits. Who's going to spend the money after your kid's been jabbed to go in and bring a suit where you might get $1 in nominal damages?
Sure. All right. Well, and that's something that we have turned over. That stone has been turned over multiple times. But now, since you're a former federal prosecutor, ladies and gentlemen, please take note of the fact that as an AUSA in Northern California, you represented the United States in both civil and criminal cases. And the thing is you know, obviously what you're talking about when it comes to assault and battery and everything else. And, you know, kids not having informed consent. Kids do not understand. They're minors. They are not at the age of consent. They're not the age of majority. And so the bigger problem we have, has been pretty much outlined by John O'Connor. Now, he also, is the author of this book. And I really want to get into Watergate because of the fact I did at one point in time in 1977 interviewed John Dean, who wanted nothing to talk about. He just wanted to talk about the National Association of Truck Stop Operators and wanted nothing to talk about Watergate. That was the last thing on his mind. We're talking about Woodward and Bernstein and their meeting with Mark Felt, who actually was, he's not alive any longer, is he?
No, he's not. And he met only with Woodward. Bernstein never met him until I had Bernstein and Bob Woodward over to Felt's house in 2008, right before he died. That's the first time Carl Bernstein met him. But Woodward certainly had plenty of communication with Felt, Deep Throat, during Watergate times. And he used Felt, and Felt used him to keep his investigation open. So they used each other. And it was a nice union of source and reporter back then.
Well, why was what's with the betrayal though?
Well, let me tell you that there's and I go through my book Postgate for your audience. It's postgatebook.com. You can look at it. It really is a series of betrayals starting from really 1973. Up through 2008 and even past then, even after Mark's death. But I'll just give you one example. When Felt met with Woodward in the garage in October of 72 for their night-long meeting, Felt told him his investigative hypothesis about how this might all be related to the Oval Office because there was a Dirty Tricks campaign run out of the Oval Office, and Felt said, well, maybe the Dirty Tricks campaign is connected to the burglary. Now, it turns out it wasn't, but but it certainly looked like it might be. And Felt was more concerned about just making sure he uncovered every rock. And so he was wanted the investigation to stay open. Now, if you recall in the book and the movie, the most dramatic meeting, though, between Deep Throat and Woodward was not that first one, but the one in May of 73, their last one, where Felt told everybody Woodward that everybody's life was in danger. Now, what was that about? It was very dramatic. Woodward and Bernstein are hush up. They go to Bradley's house, meet in the yard in the middle of the night. It's all they think their lives are in danger. They're getting wiretapped. That was by the CIA. The report to Felt was, or Felt was reporting to Woodward that the CIA was threatening lives to cover up the CIA's involvement in Watergate. All right. Now, nobody makes a big deal about that. That was at a time when the Irvin hearings were just getting started. That is to say, the Senate Watergate hearings. And the last thing anyone who hated Nixon wanted to come out was that the CIA was really behind the Watergate burglaries. And the CIA was. They're very, very behind it and part of it. Dean was also a willing participant, as was Jeb Magruder, some younger guys under Nixon, but Nixon wasn't. But so, in a sense, he betrayed his source by publishing one thing that turned out not to be true, an investigative hypothesis that didn't pan out. And then when Felt had it more narrowed down to the CIA, that wasn't published. Woodward put it in his book at the end of Watergate, which sold a lot of copies. He put it in his movie, most dramatic part of the movie. But why wasn't it reported in the Post at the time? Because then everybody would start looking at the CIA. And that's what I talk about in my book, Postgate. The CIA was very much involved in this. And if the CIA was, that's sort of at least an extenuation and mitigation of what Nixon was up to. Maybe Nixon was not only a guy who covered up things, but he also may have been a victim. His cover-ups were very mild, if what I'm saying is true, if the CIA was involved, if Nixon really didn't know what was going on. And he obviously, for political purposes, just like Obama did on Benghazi, was not quite forthright with the public. Nixon really didn't know what happened in the burglary. He did not authorize the burglary. The top guys did not authorize these burglaries. Nixon didn't know what had happened. So there's much grist for Nixon's mill if the Post is truthful in its reporting. But the Post wasn't. They wanted to get Nixon impeached, so they covered up part of Watergate, a significant part. A, that the CIA was involved. B, that they were mainly interested in listening to calls between naughty boys, DNC, and naughty girls down the street. Had nothing to do with politics. And yet, if you read what the Post wrote, this is about a campaign operation. Oh, they're trying to, you know, get something from the DNC so they can win the election. This had nothing to do with the election. Nothing. It was about trying to get dirt on local Democrats or Democrats from around the country who came to visit the DNC. Now, the CIA was interested because it had a program of tapping Johns and the prostitutes, that is to say prominent Johns, perhaps prominent political figures, perhaps foreign people in embassies. This is great for the CIA, but they were doing it in the United States. It was illegal unless they could sort of launder what they were doing through the president of the United States, which makes everything legal. So if the president ostensibly, through his agents, authorizes this type of operation of listening to hookers in their Johns, then the whole program is legal. And so that's what the CIA was doing. That's what was going on. It was about hookers and the Johns and the CIA and taping them. And yet none of this came out, which would have made Watergate a more fascinating thing. And perhaps Nixon would have gotten muddied, but not necessarily cast out in shame as if this were some diabolical program to help him win the election. You'll look in every textbook and it's about Nixon trying to win the election. And he did something stupid, but it was just so stupid. He was ahead by 20 points and yet he did this. Look, the DNC had no campaign information anyway. That's why nobody can figure out why a smart guy like Nixon would have done this. Well, guess what? Nixon didn't do it. So I go through this in my book, and so that's the first time Mark had been betrayed. But your audience would have to read my book, too, as I go through. I don't have enough time to talk about all the betrayals.
No doubt.
We would need a couple hours. Yeah.
Yeah, we would. And the thing is that, you know, when you compare what the CIA was doing to what Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein were doing in today's scenarios, I mean, this is just nutty. It makes you wonder whether the CIA wasn't involved with them as well because of the amount of sex trafficking that's going on. I mean, you see any parallels there?
Sure. Jeffrey Epstein understood what the CIA understood. That there's no better way to compromise somebody than get the goods on him. As we sometimes say colloquially, he must have dirty pictures on that guy. You know, when somebody's compliant, you might say, well, gee, maybe, why would he do that? The guy must have dirty pictures of him. Well, the best way to extort somebody and to control him is to have some compromising photo or compromising wiretap or compromising information. And Epstein understood this and how much of his wealth came from this. The guy, for instance, who was, I forget what his name is now, that owned, the fashion company that he got so much money from, and he got the brownstone from. Who knows what kind of extortion material he had on that guy? You just don't know.
No doubt. And then you've got Prince Andrew involved and God knows who else. And, of course, that little black book, I have a feeling, is never going to see the light of day. And if Ghislaine Maxwell opens her mouth in order to get a better sentencing deal, I have a feeling that she's going to meet with the same untimely death that Epstein did. Of course, there's a lot of scuttlebutt around there that says that Epstein is still alive. And I just kind of scratch my head and go, OK, now we're treading into uncharted conspiracy theory territory here. Is we don't know that for sure, and he's never surfaced, and it makes you wonder all this garbage. But before we went on the radio, John, we were talking about the scenario with the amount of trust that people don't have these days because of what happened with the parents and the FBI and Merrick Garland turning the feds on the parents and the trust level right now of Americans toward their government. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, sure. It's fallen down to just a very low percentage of people who actually believe that people are on the up and up. And this is what Mark felt was concerned about back in Watergate days. He said to Patrick Gray, his boss, the very first day they met after the burglary, the reputation of the FBI is at stake. During those years, people believed the FBI. Now, people don't believe the FBI. They certainly, and at that point, they did believe the media. They believed Walter Cronkite. They believed what was, and one of the reasons the Post campaign against Nixon was so successful, that people believed the mainstream media. Now, since that time, and probably starting with that time, as I say, the media eroded people's trust because they kept publishing phony politicized stories. And this includes the electronic medium. So that's really what we have. We have a tremendous lack of trust in our media, which tells us what supposedly are the facts. And then what we have is the people in the FBI, like James Comey, are not dumb. They realize they can enhance their credentials by using that same partisan media. So that's really what Russiagate was all about. Comey very cleverly knew that he could sell a phony story to the media about this Russian collusion, which was all a big canard. And he was clever enough to know that the public would believe it and he could get rid of Trump. So what we have is people that are exercising naked political power by using the media to basically push phony stories. And the public understands that. The public as a whole is not dumb. You just can't, you can't fool, as Abraham Lincoln says, you can't fool all the people all the time. You can't do it. And, there's a wisdom in crowds. And people understand that they're being fed baloney. Now, they don't always know exactly how they're being fed baloney, but they really look at things skeptically, and there's good reason, because so much of this is phony. I'm just reading a deposition of the world's greatest investigative reporter, Seymour Hersh of the New York Times, who's much more skilled, really, in digging out things than Bob Woodward ever was. I mean, Woodward's very good at what he does, but Hersh was saying, this whole thing from the beginning about this Russian collusion stuff, that somehow WikiLeaks was in bed with the Russians, he thought was a bunch of hokum. I'm reading his deposition now, and that's why he got involved. The fact is, it was a phony story that Hillary Clinton cooked up, we know that now, to try to sort of fend off the problems with these embarrassing DNC emails that showed that she had cooked the books with the Democratic National Committee to stop Bernie Sanders unfairly. She was trying to get away from that and get away from her own email server problems, so she came up with this phony story. And it's in John Brennan's notes of the CIA that Hillary cooked this whole thing up. But at the time, guess what? Everybody bought it hook, line, and sinker. Trump was bedeviled by this for 4 years. It was ridiculous. And, you know, rather than now admit that Trump was a victim, whether you like Trump or not, and obviously the left-leaning press does not like Trump at all. They think he's a terrible guy. Couldn't they admit it? No, even today, in spite of all this evidence that's come out, the mainstream media has never said mea culpa. We're wrong on this. George Stephanopoulos is still trying to sell the story. Oh, Steele was really a very good investigator and intelligence agent. And, oh, he really believed this is true just because you couldn't verify every single dot in there, jot and tittle. Gee whiz, it was a really good report. Come on now. They're basically, the media is now just doubling down on their falsity from before. So we have a terrible situation where people just don't believe these guys. And now where do we get our information? It's just, and so people wonder why it is that people adopt conspiracy theories that sometimes, you know, like this Jeffrey Epstein thing. He may be alive, but so would Elvis be. Okay, that's about the chance that Jeffrey Epstein is alive. Is Elvis alive? Is Jeffrey Epstein alive? No, of course, they're both dead. But people are so suspicious of the reports they get from the FBI, from the mainstream media, that they don't believe anything anymore. And so that's why these theories are born, because people are naturally suspicious. They know they're being BS'd. They don't know exactly what to believe. And so we come up with these things. And meanwhile, of course, the arrogant mainstream media loves to poo-poo all these terribly stupid conspiracy theorists. Well, I got to tell you this, about half the time the conspiracy theories end up being right. You know, half of the time they are just that, baseless theories. But that's what happens. The human mind works that way. We try to make sense out of things we do not understand. We come up with hypotheses, with investigative hypotheses, the way Mark Felt did during Watergate. His first hypothesis was not correct. It was reasonable, but not correct. So that's what happens when we are trying to figure things out. We come up with hypotheses, and we try to measure them against the facts as they come in. And so, of course, when good inquiring citizens try to do that, of course, the mainstream media, they're all brilliant people. They just poo-poo anybody that is on the right side of the spectrum. But in fact, they will embrace ridiculous conspiracy theories like Russian collusion and never drop them, you know, while they make fun of all the people out there that have legitimate doubts about things. No wonder people doubt the government. No wonder they doubt the media. There's good reason for it.
Well, a lot of them, John, have this opinion that we're at war with our own government because of the way that they're behaving and all the policies they put forward and screwing us as far as energy independence and all the things that Trump did. A lot of our listeners are just very upset. And then when you got the FBI, which we talked about before, you know, and Merrick Garland sicking the FBI on parents that are complaining to their school boards. And it's like the FBI, I think, has just been given a black eye. And many of the agents that are in there, as well-intentioned as they are part of that black eye. They've been they've been lumped in with Garland and the DOJ.
Well, one reason Trump was so attractive in the last election was people know they've been fed lies. And this is what the media has to understand, the mainstream media. They're the ones who created Trump, because Trump came in and he said, I just don't believe this garbage. You know, I'm going to stick up for you. I'm not going to stick up for what the elite on the East Coast think about globalist, internationalist type of cosmopolitan citizens of the world policies. Oh, let's stop climate change. Let's cut off our fossil fuel supply voluntarily, which, of course, hurts poor people, but they don't care. That they're not worried about paying their heating bills. So people see that they're getting screwed. That's what the situation is. They see they're getting screwed by people who are not interested in their welfare. Trump comes along, and however brash and tough he is, and as a matter of fact, because he's brash and tough, people liked him because he was a bull in a china shop, and people thought this china shop was really pretty corrupt. And so they wanted that. And that's the reason. So when people start talking about, oh, how can people like Trump? Oh, how can they like the guy? Well, the reason they like him is because they don't like you, mainstream media.
There you go.
Don't like, because they don't like the lies they've been fed by the East Coast elite. And they don't like it. And they find that their own, their representatives aren't representing them.
Yeah, no doubt. John O'Connor, the book is Postgate, How the Washington Post Betrayed Deep Throat, Covered Up Watergate, and Began Today's Partisan Advocacy Journalism. Thanks so much for being on the show. I'd love to have you back on again. We can, take of a former federal prosecutor, that's just amazing, and we thank you for being on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time for today. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour, reminding you that you got to stay safe and start prepping. We're in for the long haul. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
Heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.